This morning, we're going to begin with a Bible question for the Warren County Radio Bible School. It's time for the radio, for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and here's a chance for you to test your Bible knowledge. Now, this one was difficult for me. It's a strange number, really. I mean, we have a lot of numbers in the Bible that are often repeated. 3, 7, 10, 12, 40, and some combination of those numbers. But what about this number? The number I'm looking for is when Jesus told the disciples to cast forth their nets and they caught it full of fishes and they drug them to the shore, they counted the fish that they had in their net. Now, how many fish were there? I'm going to read that to you in just a moment in John chapter 21, and then we're going to read the rest of that chapter and look at a Sunday school lesson about the appearances of Jesus. But make a mental note of that in your mind. How many fish were in that net that they dragged to the shore of the Sea of Galilee before Jesus? The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, do you know the answer to the question? When they counted the fishes that they drew to the shore of the Sea of Galilee before Jesus, how many fishes did they find that they had caught? The answer is in John chapter 21, and I will begin reading in verse 10. Jesus said unto them, "Bring up the fish which ye have now taken." Simon Peter therefore went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. Here it is, 153. And for all there were so many, the net was not rent. 153 fishes. Now, I'm going to ask another question, and the Bible doesn't answer this question. We're just going to talk about this together here, but why the number 153? It's not one of those common numbers in the Bible. It doesn't appear then to be any kind of a symbolic number. And it's not like you might say, well, there were over 150 fish. No, that would be sort of a rounded number. This is a very exact number, 153. Is there any significance to 153? Well, the only thing I can think of is that, well, it's a real number. That it's, if it had been rounded off, you'd say it was a rounded number. If it had been a common number, someone might say, well, that's a symbolic number and trying to symbolize it for something. But it is a real number, an actual account. And that adds to the whole way this story sounds, those kind of details. These are real details, real numbers of real stories, real events. The apostles were really there on the real shore of the real Sea of Galilee before the real Jesus who had really risen from the dead. Perhaps that is why the number is so odd and yet so exact. Let me continue reading this. John 21 and verse 12. Jesus said unto them, "Come and break your fast." And none of the disciples durst inquire of him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. Now, that is the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had broken their fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Tend my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. Now this he spake, signifying what manner of death he should glorify God. And he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned back on his breast at the supper, said, Lord, who is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. This saying, therefore, went forth among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him that he should not die, but I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple that beareth witness of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books which should be written. Now, the golden text for this Sunday school lesson is, Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. John 20 and verse 29. The devotional reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 1. I'm turning there now in my book, Revelation chapter 1, 9 through 18. I, John, your brother and partaker with you of the tribulation and kingdom and patience which are in Jesus, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice above a trumpet saying, What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamum, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto a son of man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow. And his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto burnished brass, as if it had been refined in a furnace. And his voice as the voice of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun that shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Write therefore the things which thou sawest, and the things which are, and the things which shall come to pass hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks are... the seven churches. Now we have a geographical note. Tiberias is another name for the Sea of Galilee, so called from the city of Tiberias, which stood on its western shore. The city was built by Herod Antipas and named by him in honor of Tiberius Caesar. Here are helps and hints for the teacher. In lesson 12 of the last quarter, the different appearances of Jesus from morning to his resurrection to his ascension are given. Let the teacher call upon the class to name in order these appearances. Do you think you can do that? If you can, you're an excellent Bible student. Wouldn't that be good to just memorize those? I think it is 12 appearances in that list. This lesson brings us to the 6th and 7th appearance. These different appearances all serve their different purpose in convincing all that Jesus did rise from the dead. On the night of the first day of the week, on which Jesus rose from the dead, and after his appearance to Mary Magdalene, the other women, Peter, and the two on the way to Emmaus, he stood in the midst of the apostles, Thomas being absent. The place of assembly was most probably the upper room, which Luke mentions in Acts 1:13, and in which they ate the Passover. The doors were shut for fear of the Jews, John 20 and verse 19. Jesus suddenly, and it seems miraculously, stood in their midst. Now Luke 24:39 tells us, he had a body of flesh and bones. And he who could walk on the sea or instantly vanish out of sight of people could thus appear. Luke 24:37-43 states that they were terrified and affrighted and supposed they had beheld a spirit. But to convince them that he was not a spirit, he showed them his wounded hands and feet and asked if they had anything to eat. Whereupon they gave him a piece of broiled fish, which he ate before them. Peter refers to this in Acts chapter 10, 39 through 41, as assurance that they really did see Jesus. He told Cornelius, "We ate with him." Thus he allayed their fears, removed their doubts, and filled them with joy and peace. In John chapter 20, 21 through 23, Jesus announces for the first time the Great Commission, not in the words given by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but in language which embraces all that these writers say. Jesus said to them, "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." This is a renewal of the promise of the Holy Spirit in its fullest measure, or baptismal power, to bring all things to their remembrance whatsoever he had said to them, to guide them into all the truth, and to glorify him by declaring unto them things of himself. While in Matthew 16:19, Jesus designated Peter among the apostles, saying, "I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Yet the promise here is to all just what he promised to Peter. And he gave to all the power to remit and to retain sins. In light of the Great Commission and the subsequent preaching of the apostles, it is easy to see how they repented, or how they remitted and retained sins. They could not pass the act of pardon or absolve one from sins. No mortal angel could do this. Only God alone could. But the apostles were to make known the conditions of pardon and salvation in Jesus Christ to all the nations, all who heard and obeyed what they said were pardoned, and all who refused remained guilty.